Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think just being on the left side right there and knowing where our rotation ended up, and we have a lot of trust in a lot of guys, and different things are going to play out, you know, injury-wise, which I think was a good thing from training camp, OTAs, moving forward, and Bill is someone that's worked hard, and the results have paid off right there. So when the scenario played out where he needed to go in at left guard, we were able to, you know, pick up right where we left off, unfortunately for Tevin being out right there, but Bill's able to go in there. We're still able to operate our offense, and again, he's just done such a good job from the first day he's been around, you know, with his effort, his toughness, but then now it's also led to his technique and his style of play showing up in a game.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That is the voice of Shane Waldron, the Bears offensive coordinator, and he's talking about the offensive guard, Bill Murray. And Bill has played well when getting the opportunity last week. He graded out pretty well for what he did. He was very aggressive as a player, which makes sense as a former defender, came into the league as a defensive player and played defense for a couple of years before being converted to the offensive line. And now in his second year as an offensive lineman here, first year in Chicago, and they've praised him dating back to training camp. You heard from Flusi, and now you hear from Shane Waldron.
And I wonder if it all will be a moot point. I think Bill Murray becoming a dependable depth piece is not insignificant. But I wonder if, as we heard from Brad Biggs, if Tevin Jenkins is going to start after all. Brad sounded optimistic that Tevin Jenkins was going to practice today. And then if you practice on Friday, Mully, don't you think that somebody in line to start?
Yep.
Now, again, as you have pointed out, and it's valid, starting a game for Tevin Jenkins does not mean he's going to finish it. He just has too spotty of a track record in terms of durability. Bill Murray at some point will be somebody they rely upon at left guard. Shane Waldron, as we heard coming in, has confidence in him. He has the metrics in the film from last week to feel like that's something they should expect and have reason to.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder about the Bears' offensive line. If this game gets away from the Bears, it will be because I think the Jaguar defensive line has one of those days. They have pieces that maybe not always play together, but individually they could create tough matchups. I'm talking about Trevon Walker. Let's start there. We have two quarterbacks who won first overall picks.
Yep.
But Trevon Walker is another guy that was the first overall pick.
Mm-hmm.
Of the 2022 draft. He's coming off, yes, Brad said he is a disappointment somewhat, but he's also coming off a game where he had three sacks.
Mm-hmm.
He lines up opposite Braxton Jones. Give me your concern level about a guy like that wrecking this game.
You are always concerned if you feel that like a 23-year-old player is coming into his own, is starting to figure it out, that kind of thing. But I think that you can't let that happen. So Braxton Jones, if you've got to get Mercedes Lewis out there next to him, whatever you got to do, if a guy starts showing he can beat someone, then you stop it. You just don't let it go on. If you've got to do something to figure out how to help or chip or whatever it might be, then you do it, and you make sure that that's not the guy that beat you. You don't let it happen, David. You know that. You know that if a guy suddenly has like a big outing, you game plan for him. Make sure that he's not going to be a part of it. I mean, listen, you're going to have faith in the guy that you have as a starter.
No doubt about it.
You're also going to protect him because that's the key to protecting your quarterback.
But on the other side, you have Josh Hines-Allen,
mm-hmm.
who is a good pass rusher and probably more of a veteran presence and a guy that will be lined up against Darnell Wright, and you can't neglect him. This team has good edge rushers. That may be the strength of this defense. It certainly isn't the secondary. What you want to have happen is the Bears can either run the ball effectively enough to set up the play action pass or protect the quarterback enough to throw the ball down the field. Because the Jaguars secondary stinks. They are the last in the league, giving up 288 yards a game through the air. So this is why the pass rush, the edge rushers are so important to neutralize, and why Tevin Jenkins playing means so much, because obviously every given week you want to do that, but this is especially important in a week where the secondary is as bad as the Jaguars appears.
And if you feel like their pass rush is not going to give you any time at all, then you have Coleman Shelton scream about a fire and you get rid of the ball quickly.
Yeah, you do that. And I think you also, if you're concerned about the pass rush and the defensive line imposing its will on your offensive line, you go up tempo. That's one way you
Yeah, they might do that anyway. They kind of like tempo. They like the quarterback seems to appreciate moving quickly and getting in and out of breaks and getting the play in and having time to diagnose at the line.
Well, that's good to play to his strengths, and it appears to be one of Caleb Williams' strengths. I think this could be a big day for the Bears' passing game. I don't want them to get carried away early on. You don't want to be infatuated with coming in and throwing the ball all over the field. Let that happen kind of organically. Let that happen as a result of establishing the run game. But you look at the secondary, and Keenan Allen, as we talked about during the pick six, this could be the day that Keenan Allen has his best day as a Bear. And whether it's using DJ Moore as a decoy, I don't like that idea necessarily, but it's time that Keenan Allen has one of those kind of games.
Yeah, I think that you would definitely like to get him involved. He is definitely kind of a first down machine. You get a third down machine. You get to third down, and this guy knows how to run a route. He's an artist as a route runner, and I think that if you just kind of center in on that, it's going to help you a ton, and it'll be good for whatever it is that that you're hoping to get done. And I like the idea that I don't want them to revert to the way they have used DJ Moore in the past. I want him to be a part of the passing game, and I want him to be able to run some routes, and I want the quarterback to be looking for him. And I think that, you know, having seen him score three touchdowns over the last 2 weeks, the quarterback is well aware of that, and he knows that's your touchdown maker. And so you're never going to neglect a guy that you feel is going to make a big play for you.
No doubt about it. So the left guard situation is the one that maybe creates the most uncertainty on the offensive side of the ball. Mm-hmm. On defense, how do you replace Jaquan Brisker? How big of a loss is that for the Bears? Whether it's stopping the run or in the blitz package or against the pass, you're talking about an emotional leader, a guy that gives you that kind of swagger.
Listen, you know, I mean, obviously there's a reason that you have a hierarchy. You have starters and you have reserves, but you are fortunate to have a guy who will be making his ninth career start and knows what you're trying to knows what you're trying to get done, knows where he's responsible for being on the field. This is not a first year player in a first start experience. This is a guy that has been on the team, that's been around the defense, that's played for the coach before, and knows what he's doing.
Yes, he's experienced. He's a seventh-round pick, member of Ryan Poles' first draft class.
Yes, he is.
He, as I said yesterday, will have a good game if you don't hear much from him. You don't want him to be beaten in coverage. You want to, he misses a tackle. If you don't hear much from him, that's probably a good sign for the Bears' defense, that it will be challenged by the loss of Jaquan Brisker, but can survive it. They have still one of the best secondaries in the NFL, and the best way to help that secondary is to create a pass rush, and that's where Montez Sweat and company come in.
Yeah, no question about that. They've got to be as good as they've been. I think that when we look at the run defense, and we've talked about concerns with the run defense, maybe some of the changes from 1 year to the next I don't think Jervon Dexter is anything other than a good NFL player. He's been excellent. He's been better rushing the passer than stopping the run. But he's been out on a couple of plays where they broke 20-yard runs. I think the Bears have given up, they gave up 4 20-yard runs this year?
Yeah,
and they gave
too
up
many.
6 all of last
too
year.
Too many. Explosive plays in the run game have been a problem.
It's been a problem.
Tank Bigsby is going to be a problem.
Yeah,
could be.
But could potentially be a problem. But Dexter has been off the field for a couple of those. And they're also their defensive line. They've had some backup players that may have been out of position on a couple of those. I don't know. But I think that this is what you're into when you're talking about young players on a defensive line or new players on a defensive line. I think they're going to get better as the year goes on.
I agree with that. And you mentioned the confidence they have in Elijah Hicks. You referenced the 9th start that he'll be making. So when Eric Washington spoke yesterday about Elijah Hicks, this is why he had that kind of confidence.
Elijah will be the starter.
And what's your kind of level of confidence in him?
Well, tremendous level of confidence. Number one, he's familiar with what we're doing. He is an active learner, which means that when he was backing up Brisker, he's preparing himself as if he was going to start. And when you watch him in practice and go about his business on a daily basis. And so with that, with the way he prepares, with his skill set, his attention to detail, I have the utmost confidence in him.
And I think it's important to hear that. I think that it reminds you there is a reason that he is the backup. He's been here. He knows what he's doing. He knows where he's supposed to be. This is not the first time he's forced onto the field. And I know Dustin made a joke earlier in the week that Jonathan Owens, why isn't he ready to play? He's only been here for a short period of time, and he's a special teams guy. Mm-hmm. I like the idea that Elijah Hicks has held off a challenge for the backup safety position, and I think that it should speak to the degree that he'll be able to play.
It's a good sign that they trust him to that extent, and that maybe he's somebody we've overlooked or underrated. I wonder if we have given Trevor Lawrence enough respect this week in anticipating what's going to happen. I wonder if we have overlook the fact that he's coming in after a very good game against the Indianapolis Colts, and this is a very dangerous quarterback when he gets hot. And I know he's been a relative disappointment, but
he's played a lot in London. He's been their starting quarterback, and they've made tons of trips. A couple times a year they play there, and they'll be playing two games starting on Sunday. But David, you know, I mean, I hate to go Bears on you. I hate to go Flusie on you. But at some point, it's about what you do, not about what they do.
It is, and you can dictate the terms of the game, and you can dictate the terms of his day. You can make him uncomfortable in the pocket. You can force him out of the pocket where he's not at his best. All those things are true, and it is still an elite defense. But I also think that you have to remember, this is somebody who, while being somewhat disappointing to Jaguar fans and maybe not living up to all the expectations that you expect from a guy who was drafted first overall, that arm talent is also elite when he's hot. And we talk about that with Caleb Williams. Trevor Lawrence also has the capability of going on streaks and taking over games. The Bears have to make him uncomfortable so that doesn't happen. And I wonder how they will do that. I wonder if they will take chances, more chances with pressure in the blitz if they're not getting there with their front four. They should get there with their front four, but will they be less likely or more reluctant to blitz because they don't have Jaquan Brisker, who is one of the more effective blitzers?
We have some news. I don't know that it's breaking news. We should have probably talked to Big Z about Tyreek Stevenson because he is now doubtful for Sunday's game. He hurt his calf on a plant and point drill, dive drill in Thursday's practice per Coach Matt Eberflus, and he is doubtful for the game on Sunday. He sat out. Or he came out of practice. He was limited in Thursday's practice because of his calf injury. So that is not good. And Tevin Jenkins was indeed limited today, which would indicate that there is a chance that he may be able to play Sunday.
That's good for the offensive line. Jalen Jones would step in for Tyrique Stevenson. It would be a step down.
That's two members of your secondary.
Yeah, you're dealing with two secondary backups against a passing game that could be dangerous, which speaks to what we're talking about with Trevor Lawrence.
Because Terrell Smith didn't travel, right?
Make the trip. Yeah, and Josh Blackwell is more of a nickelback than he is an outside cover corner. And so you don't necessarily want to go there. When you have Jalen Jones and Jalen Johnson, it's different than having Tyrique Stevenson.
Think Kyler Gordon could play more corner as opposed to nickel?
Likely what would happen if they trust Josh Blackwell more than Jalen Jones. Josh Blackwell would be the nickelback and Kyler Gordon would play outside. They have some options to mix and match depending on who's playing well, depending on how they have practiced. Look, this Jaguar receiving core, Brian Thomas Jr., Christian Kirk, they're getting Evan Engram back, and if he plays too, these are some dangerous receivers. They could hurt you down the field, so this is not an insignificant development. Tyrique Stevenson is having a pretty good year.
I'm going to have to change my pick now that secondary is so beaten up. Can't believe we have
you
to
have
make
time.
These picks on
you
Friday.
Have time.
Well, now we actually have a Friday. We typically don't get a Friday injury report to deal with when we make our picks.
All right.
Right, well, so it's very interesting.
You've agonized.
No, I was going back and forth, and now look at this. What the hell?
What a pained expression you wear.
Got, you got any other bad news for me, Dustin? No.
I do have some news, and we should get to that probably at about 8:40 this morning. We have a message from the Cubs that we need to share with.
Oh, everybody. I can't wait for that one.
Well,
after Grody time.
We got Grody next. Let's not wish away our lives because we got a good segment coming up with Mark Grody. You back off, pal. It's Mully and Haw on the score.
Hold on.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Grody time, and that means it's time for Mark Grody with Mully and Haw.
Bears.
On 670 The Score.
Welcome back, Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. You know what that music means? It means it is Grody time here on this Friday morning, and Mark Grody joins us on the Score Hotline, brought to you by Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Grody, how's it going?
I'm doing well, Haw. How are you, brother?
Doing great. Bears, Jaguars on Sunday. What do you make of this whole week of preparation? Do you think the Bears have a built-in advantage because the Jaguars arrived sleepy-eyed and maybe jet-lagged in the middle of the night?
It seems like the Bears had the better plan. Just logically, I think you would think that a team who gets used to the time zone and the jet lag and all that comes with it, practicing there, of course, but who knows? Who knows if it, and you know, Jacksonville has been doing this for a while. They understand the rhythms. They've probably had their clocks beat up in the past. So, yeah, I think it's logical to assume that the Bears have had an advantage with their prep, but I don't know that it necessarily will add up to anything on Sunday.
So you don't want to take anything for granted. You can't afford to do that if you're the Bears. You've got an opportunity to go into the bye week with a little momentum, a 3-game winning streak, and a 4-2 record. Mark, when you look at the left guard situation with Tevin Jenkins, iffy, limited to practice today, maybe playing, and obviously the defense without Jaquan Brisker, and now it looks like maybe Tyrique Stevenson with a calf injury, which do you think is a bigger concern, the secondary that's compromised or the offensive line?
Yeah, I mean, I think at this point, just because the Bears have not dealt with adversity necessarily in their sparkling secondary this year, that's sort of where I'm focused. I mean, definitely we're going to talk about the offensive line, and I will, but I'll start with the secondary and, you know, with Jaquan Brisker being out and, you know, Elijah Hicks has been around and he's fine, but he is a backup, and the backups in this league are prone to giving up big plays. So that's a concern. And as people have been hearing the news this morning, Tyrique Stevenson is is doubtful. I mean, this just sort of popped up. He had the calf injury, which limited him in the practice yesterday. We just learned a short while ago that Stevenson is doubtful for the game. So that means that we're going to get a decent dose probably of Jalen Jones, maybe some Josh Blackwell. And, you know, I mean, full transparency, I've not had the advantage of seeing how the Bears are aligning on defense in practice and the glimpse that they give us because I'm not in London. But those are some of the guys to consider. And then what about depth as well? And is it possible that, you know, that sitting on the practice, I mean, so you got to dip into the practice squad. I got my flip chart out here, Haw. And, you know, you look at guys like, remember Reddy Steward from the preseason?
Oh,
he's kind of a preseason hard knock star. Hero. Hard knock star. They have a guy on the roster who I really want to see because his name is Amir Speed. So he's there as well. But, yeah, I mean, you're going to consider Jalen. That's what they always say about Speed. That poor kid, he's a step slow. That's no way to go through life. Your name is Amir Speed, and you can't. You're running a 4.640. That's a problem. No, he's not running a 4.640. Let me be very clear. And then on the offensive line, yeah, I'm worried about Tevin Jenkins in this game. I mean, I imagine that they will give Tevin Jenkins. This is just my gut again, and not there, so I'm not able to talk to anybody and look guys in the eyes and be able to really feel it out. But I would imagine that Tevin Jenkins having made the trip, that he probably will, you know, I think he was limited, so that is an upgrade for him relative to the rest of this week. So the guess here is that he will start the game, but as we have seen with Tevin Jenkins in the past and even last week, I don't know that Tevin Jenkins will finish the game. And so, you know, be prepared for a potential, you know, Bill Murray spot once again. Matt Pryor will come into play in this game. And when the heck is Doug Kramer actually going to get a chance to be put in as an offensive lineman on a consistent basis? No, I don't think they're going to go that route. I think they've made that pretty clear. But yeah, there's all sorts of moving parts all of a sudden on offense and defense to be concerned with, guys.
This segment with Mark Grody is brought to you by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing and Electric. For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS. Mark, I know you're good with Tevin Jenkins. I know you have a nice rapport with him. Do you worry that, you know, given his injury history, that these little kind of little injuries are adding up a little bit? Would that impact whether or not he does get that contract extension that was talked about?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I mean, it could affect it. And as a matter of fact, Molly, this was the Bears are on the bye after this game. That was the week that we learned as a collective media from Tevin Jenkins that he would be supposedly having conversations with Ryan Poles and whomever else would be part of those potential negotiations. Not that they were promising they would get something done, but there will be, at least according to Jenkins, that this is what he told us earlier this year, that this would be the week, the bye week, that they would go to the table and see what's there. You know, I feel like he may have dented his chances at a real long-term extension. You know, maybe they bring him back for a year. I know that they like him. I also know that, you know, Tevin Jenkins likes it in Chicago. Like, he seems to genuinely like being a Bear. He is, and there's no fuss over the position anymore. He is sort of left behind the idea that he could be a tackle in this league. So it's going to be interesting in the next week, and I guess out of the bye week, we'll get a chance to talk to Tevin about that, about the talks, if they still plan to have those talks. But yeah, Molly, I do think that this has been the story of Tevin Jenkins from day one. Mm-hmm. he arrived with a back injury, you know, so this is the story. And I guess they have to, you know, I think what the Bears staff is going to have to do is just look at injury history on players. Is it worth it? What's the opportunity cost? You know, you have to account for injuries with lots of offensive linemen. So is it worth bringing him back for big bucks with a guy that, you know, is in, he's He's injury prone. He just is. So it's as much as I would personally like Tevin Jenkins to be back, I mean, this is a business decision, and I do understand the Bears side would be to look at the full body, pardon the pun, of injuries that Tevin Jenkins has had and is having right now.
Mark, how big of a game is this for the Bears?
It's huge. It's huge. I mean, like if the Bears go to 4-2 and they're feeling that after, you know, with the bye week, like it could send them in the exact direction that we're all hoping that the Bears go. And then on the converse, if they lose the game, they're back to 500. So this is a game where you could start to think about those division games later on in the season. And I will say this too, David, as I've been saying with all of these Bears games, it matters how they win. And I know that, like, coaches are going to tell you, and I'm sure a lot of people in the media would agree too, a win is a win. Wins are wins. Not really. Not around here, because we've seen the Bears rack up nice seasons and then only to have it blown up because they didn't win the right way. I mean, 2018 is a great example. Elite defense, mediocre offense, and one and done in the playoffs. And I know there's a Cody Parkey problem. You could bring all that up, but ultimately it was because of the offense in 2018 that the Bears did not advance past the first round of the playoffs. So I think that even, you know, a win is going to feel really good, but I am paying more attention now than ever as to how the Bears win these games, because we know that if they don't win them the right way, they're not going to win in the postseason if they get there.
I'm curious, Mark, are you expecting big things from Mercedes Lewis, who of course is playing his first game against his former team, a former 28th overall pick in the 2006 draft by the Jaguars? He played 12 seasons there before going to Green Bay and has yet to play against them. So there's a lot of bad blood. He's the only guy left from that 2006 draft in the entire league.
A lot of bad blood.
Well, he won.
Is everybody alive for
is
that?
The big dog? Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Have they aged out?
I read somewhere that the Jags also drafted Jones-Drew that
year. Oh, Maurice.
Jones-Drew in the same draft.
MJD.
Because the two of them had played together in college. Is that not hilarious? It seems like Maurice Jones-Drew retired 15 years ago.
Yeah,
and,
it does.
And you got Mercedes Lewis now in his 19th year.
It's like he's like 100 years old and all his friends have died. You know what I mean? It's like, what's going on here? I'm just being real. I keep it 100 all the time.
You keep it 100.
I mean, Mercedes Lewis, I don't know if he's good. I'm sure he will feel some of that, and it should be mentioned on the broadcast. It deserves to be. Every game this man plays at this point.
Hey, Mark.
He
played 5 games in London during his 12 years with the Jags. How awesome is that?
That is pretty awesome. Yeah, he should be the most comfortable man there. He's around 2 familiar uniform sets. He probably didn't even need to go with the team on Monday. I mean, give this man, like, he pops up on the injury report more than anybody with Veterans Day off. They should have just given him his own ride on Friday. Let's just helicopter him in, drop him down on the field, nice story, come on in for, you know, extra man on the offensive line, maybe catch a pass, maybe drop a pass. But the whole Mercedes Lewis thing has been great. He has been it's almost like he's kind of been given a pass, because while he's valuable to this team, he's not that valuable as a player, but he is maybe invaluable in the locker room. The team likes him. I know it sounds cliche, but he does come across as an extra coach. He's the one that opened up all the transparency when it was going down between, you know, Caleb and DJ and Shane Waldron, Coach Harder. So it'll be a fun story, and it's cool to talk about, but I don't know exactly how effective Mercedes Lewis is at this point on the field.
Maurice Jones-Drew retired a decade ago, 2014, by the way.
God.
All right, Mark, 30 seconds. What's your prediction?
I am going to go – and remember, I am 5-0. I like to brag. I do. The Bears will win 30-27. And it was 30-24. I'm going 30-27 now with this stuff going on in the secondary. Bears will win.
All right.
Yeah.
That's good stuff. That is really good stuff. Yeah. How about this for a statistic? Just for, yeah. for
give
snorts,
me a statistic,
snorts and giggles. The Bears in season games in London, they're 1-1. You'll remember that they beat the Bucks in Wembley in 2011. And of course, Bears. They lost to the Raiders at this same stadium in 2019. Ugh. Not a single player on the Bears roster was with them in 2019. That's not that long ago.
You mean relative to now?
No current Bear was on that 2019 Bears team that lost to the Las Vegas Raiders.
Yeah, that was a
not
nightmare.
One.
That's pretty amazing. It's the NFL, I guess.
Yeah.
That's
NFL.
Or is it the Bears?
Not for long.
Yeah, that's right.
Grody, great stuff.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, see you guys.
That is the great Mark Grody. Always fun to talk to Mark. 312-644-6767. We've got a letter here.
Tom Ricketts addresses Cubs fans. We'll talk about it next.
And he doesn't sugarcoat it because there's no way to sugarcoat it. We'll hear from Tom Mullion Hall.
Kind of the general sense of the organization is I think everyone's optimistic about our future. I think we've put ourselves in terrific position, but I think everyone's disappointed that in the way the season played out. I think we showed at times for long stretches that we're a really good team, but ultimately, like, it's pretty binary. We're not playing today. I'm having a press conference today. And I think that, you know, from Tom on down, I think there's a level of disappointment in that. And so, of course, there's frustration. I think there should be frustration when you fall short of a goal that you set a year ago.
Mullion Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That was Jed Hoyer at his end of season news conference. And it was interesting to hear Jed. Today we have a letter from Tom Ricketts. And he doesn't really pull any punches. He says there's no way to sugarcoat it. This is the letter. This is not where we planned to finish the season. And like our fans, we had high expectations for the team this year. And early victories delivered the hope for postseason baseball. But inconsistent play and injuries upended that promise, leading us into a hole too deep to recover from despite another second-half surge. Bottom line, we did not play a complete season of competitive baseball. As a result, we've missed the most exciting and exhilarating month of the season, October.
Very direct, very good by Tom Ricketts to do that and address fans in that way. Even better, even more telling to me, in the Tribune this morning, he did an interview with Megan Montemuro, and he said it was maybe the toughest season that he's endured in 15 seasons of owning the team. Yep. And more significantly, I think what people wonder is that when asked about the contract extension possibility for Jed Hoyer, who is entering the final year of his deal, and what that means for this offseason, Tom did not necessarily say that an extension was coming. He basically said that he's under contract. That's the way I see it. I think he's motivated. I know he's driven. Like everyone else here, he works really hard. I think Jed's going to have a great offseason and put us back in the playoffs next year. That is in this morning's Chicago Tribune, chicagotribune.com. He also leaves open the possibility of going over the CBT tax, the CBT, competitive balance tax, if they are going to spend this offseason. But it's not a commitment necessarily. He's going to play it by ear. We'll see. The Cubs, if this postseason tells you anything, they lack stars. They lack a star. You see teams that are winning with the Detroit Tigers as the exception. The Mets are winning because their stars are coming through. Who are the Cubs stars? So Tom Ricketts, in a direct address to fans, not sugarcoating it, like what I heard.
Tom says in this very interesting, so the Cubs are roughly $90 million under the $241 million competitive balance tax threshold for 2025, but that is before Cody Bellinger makes his decision. So that mm-hmm. could be $27.5 million of that $90 gone. He says that he believes Jed's going to have a really good plan of how he wants to allocate all his resources and the way he sees fit.
Yeah, you expect raises for Justin Steele in arbitration.
Yep.
Isak Paredes in arbitration.
Yep.
You got to be aggressive in free agency, even though it's going to be a tricky free agent market. They're going to see around baseball, I think, some of those salaries coming down because of the issues with RSNs and the kind of ways that television revenue is affecting teams' budgets. But the Cubs, as Tom Ricketts says in the Tribune story, should be able to still outspend everyone in the division. They should be able to win the division. It's not just about money. It's about player development. That is the bright spot that he alludes to consistently. The Cubs feel very good about their player development and their farm system because when you look at every ranking conceivable, they have ample talent coming up. Help is on the way, but you need to go out and you need to get difference makers in free agency and be creative in the trade market to get guys you don't have that can help you. You need a closer. You need a power hitter. You need you need big bats. You need your offense to be fixed.
And Tom in the Tribune tells Megan the penalties on CBT, they grow over time, so you want to be careful when you do it. And so if there's ever some point in the future where there's a large financial commitment you have to make mid-season, you have to be thoughtful about it.
Yes, he has said that similarly. Yep. That's a pretty familiar refrain from Tom Ricketts about the CBT.
Yep.
You understand that. The Cubs were the seventh highest payroll in baseball this past year. I don't think you can look at that and saying they're not willing to spend to win. They're willing to spend to win. They have to spend wisely, and you also have to get players that are going to play beyond their capability.
All right, we've got Stacy Dales waiting for us in London. We're going to head back overseas. We can get to this in a little bit. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.